The text this morning, just a short portion, it's actually a portion of the total text that was for this Sunday. But it's recorded in the third chapter of Colossians, and in the first, actually just the first four verses. It's Colossians 3, verse 1, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 4, and reading the words in Jesus' name. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead with your life, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, these words that are before us, Father, are from you. And they indeed are truth, because you are truth. So, Lord, we pray that you this morning that you would be able to give to us a message that we could take from here and that we could use even as this week comes. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to talk, and I'm going to be kind of skipping around a lot. I've got several Bible verses here, portions of Scripture that I'm going to be referring back and forth to. But during the services in Hawkinson, there was a mention of fellowship and how that fellowship with believers is just so important. There are two different types of fellowship. There are the fellowship with, you know, of course, our Christian family and with our Christian friends. There's a spiritual fellowship, but then there's also an earthly. Because there are times where, even if we are with our church family outside of the church building, that we're talking about things that happen in life and things that go on. There are certain ones of us who, at some point in time during our lives, we tend to kind of get together with. The term fellowship is actually the Greek word, and I do not know how to say it, so I'm going to spell it for you, and then you figure it out. But it's spelled K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A is the Greek term for it. And the literal translation or the literal meaning of that word is sharing or participating in a common thing. Well, we are all the children of God. It's about as common as we can get. And even though we hold other jobs, other roles in life, that one common thing is constantly the same, and that is our faith. There are times where we may be together with fellow believers, and there are times where we enjoy each other's company and things happen, and you know, we just have a good time together. One in particular, and Gary, I'm not doing this to embarrass you by any means, because it was a good time. But if any of you have ever been in a high-altitude lake, storms come up pretty fast. Well, poor Gary was in the bow of the boat, and he took the brunt of the storm. And Daryl and I didn't get quite as wet as we could have. It was not a pleasant thing. It actually wasn't really that pleasant for us, because we sympathized. But the point is that it's a remembrance. It's something that's remembered. And I'm sure there's a lot of other ones, too, that we just had a wonderful time together. But we were all Christians, and we were enjoying each other's company. And in doing that, there's a strengthening for us. That we can be strengthened because we are around each other. And if we are going through something in particular, the others understand. In the first book of John, chapter 1, I make my fingers work here, but First John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. he was speaking to the believers of that time, that letter, and in saying that you also, or you also may have fellowship with us. In other words, those who he was addressing would be a part of what they believe and understand. That those who he was addressing would understand that what they believed, those who heard also believed. And they could communicate in the same language, so to speak. They could communicate in such a way with each other that they would understand and have a love and compassion for each other. And then in 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 1, verse 9. And there's so many places in Scripture that talk about fellowship and sharing and being together. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, what exactly does that mean, to be in the fellowship of Jesus Christ? As the explanation goes, as sharing or participating in a common thing, we as believers participate in what Christ taught. We participate in what he taught us and how we are to live. We have a fellowship with Christ because we know him and understand him. We have a fellowship with him that can never be understood by anybody outside of faith. And then again in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 16th verse. Probably should have marked these down, but oh well, I'll give you time to look them up too if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion. That term communion, it can be translated to fellowship. It can be translated to sharing. It can be translated to participating in a common thing. But regardless of how you translate it, regardless of the word that you put into it, it is sharing the blood and the body of Christ. And it is sharing with other believers. And taking unto ourselves that salvation that God offers. And taking unto ourselves the gift that God has given to us. But it's also taking unto ourselves that promise that through his body and through his blood, we have salvation. And that salvation is ours forever. Then in another one, then this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it would be, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, just reading that verse really doesn't tell you what they're talking about. And there needs to be a little bit of explanation on that. The Church of Macedonia, at that time, Paul had been visiting them. And the Church of Macedonia had really had a compassion for other believers, had a compassion for the other saints who spread the message. So they put together gifts. They put together food and staples and things that other churches were short of and needed. But why did they do that? It was because of the love of Christ. And the love that he had for other believers. And that love that Christ had was given to that church, the same as is given to us today. So when the Apostle Paul says that those people of Macedonia, they were entreating us, or they were praying for us with much entreaty. In other words, very strongly, that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, taking it to those who are ministering in other churches. Taking it to those other believers. And in that case, it is also an act of fellowship. It is, in fact, an act of sharing. To share with one another the love of Christ through whatever means. In this case, it was through necessary things that were needed, staples, if you will. It may have been financially. It doesn't really specify. But the point is that they were willing to share of what they had to those who also believed, because those who also believed didn't have what was needed. And they very strongly wanted Paul and his other ministers, if you will, to take these things and bring them to those who needed them. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, in the wrong direction. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now, here Paul becomes very specific. And this message is to us, because we are the Gentiles. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Fellow heirs. He was telling the Jewish nation, or the Jewish believers, to share your gifts, share your blessings with those who are outside of the Jewish realm, if you will, nationality. But you're all believers. And to share that with the Gentiles, because they too are every bit as much saved as any of you. And that's a saying that's for us this morning. For those who want to share with us, if they are called by the Holy Spirit and believe and trust in what Christ has done for them, then they also are fellow heirs. There are some who will put a tag on people. Well, we can't believe in them because they're of a different faith or a different religion or a different denomination or a different nationality or whatever excuse human nature can come up with. But yet God doesn't do that. God doesn't look at people and say, well, I'm not going to give you the gift because you are not so-and-so, such-and-such, or whatever. No. God says to them, come, believe on what I have done and that gift that I have given and the salvation that I offer. Believe in that and you will be my child. And we indeed are his children even this morning. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him, or that I want to know him, another translation says. And isn't that true? We want to know who Christ is. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, Paul isn't talking about necessarily suffering as Christ did and dying as Christ did. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying here, he's talking about the hardships that we may have to endure by proclaiming our faith. About the things that we may have to withstand by doing his work. I've seen some pictures of people who are out spreading the gospel message, and you know, there could be a discussion on that too about whether it's the right way or wrong way. I don't care. But the point is they are spreading the message of Christ and him crucified. And I've seen people attack them for doing so. This is the type of suffering that believers have to go through by proclaiming that message. And what is that message? What's that message this morning? It's that message of love, compassion. A message that if you believe in him, or if you believe in me and what I did, you will have everlasting life. Your salvation is assured. And all of these things that you're having to go through at this time, and all these things that you're going to do, that you're doing, really are not important anymore to you. They're not worth the effort. But what is worth the effort is loving your fellow man, because understanding that they do not understand yet. They do not know who Christ is, as I do. And they need to. They need to know him. Now, it's real easy to stand up here as I am and say, this is what we have to do, or this is what should be done, or this is what we should do. It's a little more difficult to get out in the street and do it, or to speak to our neighbors, or speak to our friends. It's not always easy. But God does provide ways, and God does provide means. The other issue is, too, when we think of this, as I'm sure most of us have at any point in time in our life, do we think of it as just a very subtle comment or a very quiet conversation with somebody? Or do we think of it as some grand and glorious thing, and this is what I've got to do? Human nature tends to want to go the large route, if you will. They tend to want to go big and just really make sure that everybody has it. But yet in God's kingdom, it doesn't work that way. In God's kingdom, it's very quiet. It's very subtle. And sometimes it only affects one person. There's only one individual that God wants to focus his attention on in your life, so that they understand who he is. And that's important. It's important to God, and it should be important to us. Not the grand and glorious. There are people out there that can take care of that. There are people out there that are fitted for it and who can do it. But we as individuals, we as a single person, sometimes all God wants us to do is to speak to one person or make one comment, one sentence. Sometimes is all it takes. So be willing and be ready to just do whatever it is that God wants to do, not what we think we need to do. That I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to share in that suffering. But why would I want to do that? Why would I want to share in any type of a suffering that a Christian might have to endure? Well, the one thing that comes to mind at first is that if I have to go through that, to me, that's telling me that, hey, I'm on the right road. I'm on the road that God wants me to be on. Because if I'm going to go along and I'm going to follow the crowd, nobody's going to turn to me and look at me and say, hey, you're different. They're going to turn and look at me and say, hey, you're acting just like we do. You're following us. And that's not where I want to be. I would much rather, at this point, much rather be that person that they turn and look at and begin to scorn. The person that they would turn and look at and say, what are you talking about? person who could deliver that message of compassion and love to those who don't know and understand. And then finally, and this kind of goes along with what I was just talking about, and this is in Philemon, and it's in verse 6 of Philemon. Philemon verse 6, that the communication, now remember, communication, communicating, communion, fellowship, it's all sharing. In other words, what we could do is, in that word communication, that the sharing of your faith, of thy faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Just what I had been talking about. And this is what Philemon was writing. That the communication of your faith, or the sharing of your faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That people may see what kind of a life you live. People may see what type of conversation you have. People may be able to see what you believe in because of how you live. That's what this message is. So we see that in the text in Colossians chapter 3, when we read those four verses, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So by becoming a person who shares and partakes in a common thing, you are risen with Christ. And you are seeking those things that Christ has given to you. You do set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth, because that's where you want to be. For you were dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. That old life that you once had, that you once partook of, is now gone. It's dead. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, this promise, this last part of this, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Can you believe that? We will also appear with him, because we are his family. We have been adopted. And we are a fellowship with him even this morning. In his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. And Lord, we pray as we are leaving here that indeed the fellowship that we have with one another would continue, that we would be able to visit and to encourage each other even in life. That Father, we each have to go through our own trials. We have to each go through our own tribulations and our own problems and everything else. But Father, remind us, remind each and every one of us that we are not on this road alone. We are not here by ourselves. But there are fellow believers out there who are more than willing to lend a shoulder or lend an ear. There are more than one believer out there who is willing to entrust and to comfort. So Father, we want to be reminded of that at all times. We do not have to walk on this road by ourselves. There are those who are there, and those that you prepare even beforehand to be able to help out at any given time for whatever reason. So, Father, we pray that we would be reminded of this. We pray that we would always look to you for the strength and guidance that we need. And now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.